Yeah. Plus, you're not everybody's cup of tea.
No.
You're a cup of coffee with a middle finger in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I feel seen.
Greetings, Zapper Posse. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And a cup of coffee with the middle finger in it.
Yeah.
Yep. Jenna.
Oh, it's redundant. They knew. Yeah. They'll just walk by a cup of coffee, just flipping them off. And they're like, hey, Jenna, how's it going? It's my friend, Jenna.
That's exactly like that, James.
And then Salsa will go, name dropper.
Haven't done that in a while.
We haven't dropped a lot of names in a while.
True, we haven't. We've been boring.
You know what?
Gone anywhere. Well,
you know what?
I hope that's the royal we.
There's nothing royal.
You're a royal pain in my ass.
I'm not even a royal pain in the ass.
Royal blue is one of the colors you can see.
Is it though? We don't know.
Okay. Well,
I mean, science would say you probably could, but I suppose we don't know for sure.
We would no way to know.
Yeah.
No way to know.
All right. Well, can we drink?
I suppose. Yeah.
Because I wanna.
Yeah.
What are we drinking?
I've procured for the podcast a series of different soju. This is a very celebrated beverage from Korea. I guess not the same as sake, but very sweet and light in most cases. Almost like you don't quite believe that it's 20% alcohol.
So what is it?
Yes.
If I may.
Or do you mean what makes it a soju?
Yeah, what is soju?
It's an apple wine. Instead of being a rice wine or a potato fuel, it's
shut up about potato fuel. I love potato fuel.
Potato gasoline's pretty great.
I love potato gasoline.
Yeah.
Soju is apples.
Yeah, it's made with apples instead. And my occasional watching of
intensive?
Not even intensive. Attentive. My attentive watching of some K-dramas have said that this is, you know, a pretty common thing. And often that people will use half oyster shells as shot glasses or something. Oh. Maybe it was just that one show. But if you're into K-dramas and you have not watched Crash Landing on You... Well, then you got a fucking thing to watch.
Most brands of soju are made in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
While soju is traditionally made from the grains of rice, wheat, or barley, modern producers often replace the rice with other starches.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So you're aware, it does not have to be apple.
Excellent. Yeah.
And there's way more information on Wikipedia, which is probably accurate.
This one is, just to start us off, I figured I'd start us off with the original. It is soju flavored.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Soju flavored soju. Let's do this.
Oh, it smells like cider.
It does.
Real mild.
But like a light, airy cider. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, that would fuck me up in 5 minutes real quick, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Like, it's got a real mild burn to it, but it's almost like an apple whiskey.
Mm. No, it's like an apple gin.
Apple vodka?
No, I think it is, for me, I think it is like a sake. Because sake has a very distinctive kind of low-level without being like a burn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm getting off of this.
Yeah.
This was gin, I'd be like...
not a juniper. Nothing with juniper.
No.
But...
No, if it was a gin, I'd be like... Unless it was like 18 times distilled whatever stuff. Yeah.
No, it's quite good.
Yeah, I felt like you folks might like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we
I do.
We have two different kinds after this that we'll try in the forthcoming weeks. As it is, we've got a whole bottle of this stuff, and one of us is driving.
And yeah.
Not me.
Oh,
so,
I am.
It's not me this week.
Barkeep?
Mm. All right.
That's me.
Attending to my engineering duties.
While he's doing that, Jenna, what you been up to?
Last Thursday, Joe and I went to an escape room.
Ooh. Holy shit, yeah?
An escape room.
That's where they keep it. Yeah.
Escape. We're on an escape. Escape.
Wow. So anyway, one of Joe's friends was like, hey, we want to get a group of people together to do escape rooms. Also, we haven't met your lady yet. Hmm. Does she like escape rooms? And Joe's like, hey, yes, we're in.
That's when you bring your laptop in and open your escape room spreadsheets.
She's got those on her phone.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Except they were very clear. They're like, you can use the flashlights on your phone, but please don't take pictures or look things up. Not that it would have helped overly much for this one. It was, the name of this one was Dig, and it was like an archaeology site where you're trying to ostensibly figure out what happened to the previous archaeologist.
Grim.
We never did, but we won it.
You got out.
We got out.
Oh, okay.
So I don't actually wasn't following the story. Solving puzzles.
No, you figured out what happened to the previous archaeologist. He got out too.
Oh.
Yes.
So you wander down to the bar. Hey.
And like,
is my break over?
We go into
over.
So there were seven of us. Of various backgrounds in escape rooming, ranging from one person had done like a massive amount of them to one person had never done one before. And so we get in this small room and we all just start looking for things, right? And in the process, like at one point, one of the guys like opened up a thing and was like, hey, what's this? And then the voice, like the overhead PA, was like, that wasn't supposed to open yet.
Oh.
If you could return that in there so that we can help guide you through the rest of this, that would be greatly appreciated. Oh my God. Oh, we already broke it. Yeah, like within 2 minutes.
Other escape rooms I've been in, if you accidentally open the safe early...
Yeah.
That's where you are.
But the thing is that the information, because it was actually, there were three separate, like, room areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the first thing we had to get into the next room and then into the next room.
Yeah, yeah.
But you would go back and forth between all of the rooms once you got each one opened. It would have been very confusing knowing now what information was in that specific little pamphlet that the guy found.
Oh, absolutely.
It would have been confusing. Everything.
But the other escape rooms I've been in are just like, well, then you're confused.
There's a difference between like a hardware malfunction where a door is able to be opened or a cabinet can be slid away or something like that.
Yeah.
And then like brute forcing a lock or something like that.
Right.
I walked into...
It wasn't that situation. Yeah. It was just the door...
Wasn't secure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's... Yeah. Okay.
Because I know what you're talking about. I walked into one that had a particular theme and walked up to a combo lock, and I was like, well, if it's this theme, it's probably this number. And sure enough, didn't have to look for that clue anywhere.
You were just like, and now it's open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not even sure how we got into the first room, because the thing was, into the second room from the first room, I don't know where they got... They had to unlock a thing, and I don't know where they got that key, but they got it, and they got it unlocked, and they got into the second room. I was working on a different puzzle with one of the other people. It was like a slidey picture thing.
Oh, sure.
So we were busy trying to put the picture together, because maybe that unlocks the door to get in, and while she and I are just like intensely working on this thing, like the rest of the team is like, well, we got the door unlocked, and we're like...
Oh.
Well,
you're going to love it when we get this picture put together.
Sure, that'll be useful later.
Jerks.
And then the one thing is, they did have, in this particular escape room, they had a screen TV where they could, if you wanted a hint,
oh, sure.
give hints.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had something to tell you, they only used the PA once.
Yeah.
And that was to tell you, don't do that.
That wasn't,
close the cabinet.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Just put that back. You'll get to it later, I promise. But
unless you suck at this, in which case you won't.
Yeah.
In which case, you'll always be chasing that dragon.
No good until we got to that point. Anyway, you know, one of those
things.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah. So, but she and I finished it and we're like, well, should we be able to get into the thing underneath then? Should we, like, how does this work? And what they would do is if they had something to tell you, there would be a little, like, a church bell noise.
Yeah.
Like a bong, which was lovely. There was kind of a churchy thing going on with this, too. Like, the first thing that we had to get through was, like, a confessional booth, and there was, like, a back door on the confessional booth.
Yeah, there is.
And I'm not giving anybody anything away if you get to dig, because you just, that's what you have to do right away.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, you're telling them what's written on the back of the book.
What is, legitimately, you walk into the room, and you're like, well, door's got to be through there. That's the only way through.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the church bell does a little ding thing. And then so we all go to look at the screen. And the screen was like, that puzzle will come in handy later. And we're just like, okay, well, we did this one then. Do-do-do-do-do. So then we go into the next room. And it, like, oh, now I don't want to give it away in case anybody does it. But, like,
I do love an escape room.
There were a lot of different puzzles and things going on. And then, like I said, there was a third room that you got into eventually.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of it was, there were some very fun puzzles. And there were some puzzles that could have been a little clearer. Could have been a little bit clearer.
There's always,
I want to design an escape room.
I do too.
I did.
Hold on. I want to design an escape room where every single puzzle is a red herring because the door is unlocked.
I don't want to be the one to tell you this, but they will try it.
You know what? Great.
Good on them. Yeah.
If they do, perfect.
What
they
want is for one of the puzzles to actually point somebody in the direction of a red herring, and that's how you open up the door. Like an actual little red herring.
There's just a red herring and a pull chain. And then the door opens.
Yes.
Yeah.
This clue might be a red herring. No, it is.
I just like the idea of course you can escape. It was never locked.
You just
assume that it was, and everybody goes and looks at puzzles.
Nobody
and everything.
Nobody ever
and,
assumes that.
Oh.
There's
I don't know how many you've done, but I've done a couple.
In D&D, people often assume that.
Right.
But especially when they're thrown into a room and the person is like, okay, be gentle with everything because it's made out of crepe paper and the fond wishes.
Right.
But like...
We don't have a Hollywood budget here.
Please do try everything. Yeah, and people go around and they're like, they pull everything, they turn everything, they brute force a lock. They, you know. So there's that.
But anyway, so yeah, there were many puzzles. We had an hour to get out. It took us 57 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
The countdown clock had 2 minutes and 30 seconds left.
Holy shit.
Well done.
Yeah. It was... Well, and the thing is, though, is that... like, we were starting to get antsy, like, oh, God, are we gonna make it?
Oh, yeah.
Are we gonna make it?
The clock is literally
ticking. But, like,
ticking.
we went to be like, are there any clues popping up? No. Well, then we've got to be close, right? Like, it's just like... Because they want people to succeed. So
yeah.
And maybe come back or whatever.
Of course.
They had, like... I think they had, like, 5 different rooms in that location. So they want people to come back and do their other ones.
Yeah.
Which I probably will. Because I love escape rooms. Because they're awesome. So... Yeah, but I got to meet new people and we had a good time.
That's fucking fantastic. Yeah.
So did that on Thursday. And Saturday, I spent the evening with some lovely lady friends of mine. I had a fire in the backyard and hung out and just talked and got caught up on life because we're not all doing the same things like we used to be anymore. So it was just nice to chit-chat and get caught up and hang out. And we roasted peeps. Dear Apropossi, if you have never roasted a peep, fucking get on that shit. A roasted peep is like, because it's coated in sugar. So you get like almost a creme brulee crisp on the outside.
Yeah.
And the marshmallow is nice and gooey and it's...
Oh, my mouth just started watering.
Oh, all it's right. So good. It's so good.
Yeah.
So very good.
But is it good?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh. Huh.
Okay.
Excellent.
It's also tasty. So yeah, like I got to do some of that hanging out. Last Tuesday I played Monster Prom with our friend Tom Esty. That was delightful. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter joined us for the second game. Good. And like playing Monster Prom with your daughter. I mean, if Jess and I didn't already have the mother-daughter relationship that we do have,
yeah,
it could have gotten a little awkward.
Sure.
But, yeah, it was still great fun. We all had a good time.
Excellent.
So, yeah, that was super fun. And then the other thing that happened is that I had... a friend of Joe's over. And on my TV, I've got like rotating pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
From my Google Photos. And at one point, this guy, very drunk, sitting on my couch, is like part of the point was so that he could sober up a little bit.
Sure, sure.
And he looks up at my TV and he goes, "Well, who's that hottie?" And I look at the picture and I say, "Are you referring to me? Or are you referring to my daughter?" And he was just like, head pointed down.
I was referring to that stain on the ceiling. That
I got a text from anyone.
Yeah, no, literally anyone. I was a memory popped into my head from a few weeks ago.
trying to remember someone's name.
Who was that hottie?
Jeez.
Momoa. Jason Momoa.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that is definitely a hottie.
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, also. So, yeah, in that moment, I had all of the feelings.
Yeah. Oh.
Of course, there were some mama bear feelings because that's just going to happen. I'm a mom. There was a part of me that was like, okay, but you're like over 30, and that picture, she's at least 18 because it's from when we were voting. So good job on that, I guess. But still, that's a little. And I mean, I know my daughter was born a 40-year-old woman, and she kind of has a maturity in her face, but like, still, that's still a bit much. On the other hand, I don't really have to worry about it because my daughter, one, is a lesbian, two, can handle her own shit. So, and then there was a part of me that was like, and I did actually tell this story to my daughter, and she's like, "Well, if I had concerns about passing beforehand, certainly not worried about it now."
Fair enough.
Yeah. So yeah, like, and just like, it was such a moment, such a fucking moment. My daughter's a hottie. Just in case you all wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
As declared by a drunk guy on my couch.
There you go.
And there's no finer judge of the female figure than drunk guys on couches.
Nope, not at all. Rubens?
What's that?
What?
Not even, like, the classical artist Rubens?
I have no idea what you're...
No? Okay.
I'm familiar with the name, but...
Okay.
is what did they paint that you're
a Rubenesque women
with female figures. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar enough with art.
I assume that artist was probably just a drunk guy on a couch.
Oh,
most artists are either drunk or
at least
high.
For part of the time. Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
So
I mean, not everyone, obviously. Hashtag not all artists. But a significant...
Not all Manet.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
when we hurt ourselves,
mm-hmm.
when we hurt our own soul with comedy... You know,
So yeah, I think I'm gonna stop there before I
all right.
manage to make things even more awkward.
I went to a pumpkin patch with my family.
Yay! Yeah.
And we got pumpkins.
Yay!
Oh, is that where you? Is that where that happens?
Often, not always.
I mean, that's pretty much the story. I'm.
Oh.
We went to a pumpkin patch and we saw. Rigas in the wild.
Oh my goodness.
This is are majestic.
Yes, no, they are very majestic. But yeah, no, we showed up and there were Rigas there and we're like, "Hi, we know you." And we were like, "Well, we were going to go on the hayride." And Ren was like, "We were going to go on the hayride too." And Radley was like, "Salsa, would you take the kids on the hayride while I go to the market?" And I was like, okay, but the market sounds like kind of fun. I kind of want to go to the market too when we get done. And Ren goes, "I'll just take the kids. You two go to the market." And I was like,
"What?
Yes!
Oh my god, that's awesome!
You have yourself a deal."
Done.
And so they did. They fucked off to the hayride, and Radley and I went to the marketplace, and we did.
Ren is on my list of sweetest people.
She is a wonderful person.
Also deadly. Don't fuck with her.
Oh
yes,
Jesus,
sweet
Christ.
But deadly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and so they, you know, we did a little shopping, and then they came back and hung out for a bit until it was time for them to go.
Yeah.
And then we got our pumpkins, and yeah, it was, that. I mean, not much else to tell, really. We got big fucking pumpkins.
Yeah.
My son got one that's weighs more than he does, because when you're five, that's what you
that's
want.
That's not that hard, yeah.
You want a pumpkin that's as big as you are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was lovely. That's how we spent our Sunday.
Nice. And then,
I feel like I did something on Saturday. What was it? What was it? Oh, I got the cider.
Oh.
Oh, nice. Ordered just in time.
Yep. I ordered juice just in time this year.
Mm-hmm.
I missed it last year, but I ordered it just in time. I got my juice. I've got 5 gallons of cider brewing away over there.
Nice.
In the corner for next year's batch of beverage.
Batch-o-beverage. Nice.
Is that the brand name?
No, it doesn't have a brand name.
It's a unit of measurement.
It's
from the metric system.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Not that imperial shit, though.
No, yeah, that's...
You only use that for an imperial stout.
Yeah, this is none of that bourgeoisie imperial
just
stuff.
Just barely edged me out.
I knew where you were going to. Mm-hmm, I was like, nope, mm-hmm. gotta say it quick.
The glint
say
in
it
my
quick.
Eye. Yeah.
Stop mulling it over. Just go. This is, oh, God.
No, this is one of those proletariat metric units.
Oh, sure. Like 40 rods to the hogshead.
Yes, exactly.
Hmm.
Even though one is distance and one is volume, but that's beside the point.
Well, 40 rods to the hogshead would be like miles to the gallon.
Mm, I see what you're saying.
Hmm. At least according to The Simpsons. And they're highly scientific.
Yes.
Surprisingly so, yes.
Yeah, David X. Cohen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah,
there's a reason that there was a mathematical proof that aired on Futurama as its announcement to the communities of math and science. Yeah.
No, that was real good. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what else did you do?
I mean, I don't know if I really did anything interesting beyond that. Let me check my schedule, but I don't really think so. It was my anniversary.
Jesus Christ, man. She obviously married you for your looks.
Here's the thing about my relationship
DNA?
With my wife.
Weirdly,
anniversary has never been something that has been that big of a thing.
Long-standing tradition on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. No, but like with my wife, most holidays are important.
Yeah,
like birthdays, you know, holidays, things like that. For some odd reason, anniversary is just something that slips our mind a lot.
Sure.
Like there was one year I brought home a bunch of flowers and chocolates or something. I don't remember. I brought home something, and she was like, "Oh, what are these for?" And I was like, "It's our anniversary." And she's like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that." And like the next year, she did something special for me, and I was like, yeah. "Oh, was that today? Oh shit, we're not good at it."
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. But then again, we've never really celebrated our anniversary on our anniversary.
Fair enough.
We went to Ireland for our 10th honeymoon or 10th anniversary.
Your 10th honeymoon.
Yearly honeymoon sounds like a great idea.
It does sound like
we were going to go to Ireland on our honeymoon, and so for our 10th anniversary, we took our honeymoon. But we did that in the summer.
Right.
Okay.
And then, like, our other honeymoon, or I'm sorry, anniversary trip we took in, like, November. And we never celebrate on our anniversary.
Sure, sure.
Fair.
But my wife, this time around, so thank you for bringing that up. My wife, as an educator, they've got this education program where she can get reduced price tickets to various things. And she got tickets to a Gopher hockey game.
Oh, nice.
U of M.
Do you like hockey?
Gophers. I've heard of it, but...
It's no hurling. But
yeah, it's no kabaddi.
It's no kabaddi.
It's true. Nothing like
that's called a callback, James.
Hashtag kabaddi, 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 kabaddi.
But we like so, and she honestly, she was like, "Who do you want to go with?" And I was like, "Oh, I assumed I was going with you." And she was like, "Yeah, but if you want to take one of your friends instead, do it."
That's
It was genuinely just going to like a gift for me, not necessarily thing. It was a gift for me, man. And I did ask like a couple people, and one couldn't make it, and one never got back to me. And Radley was like, "I will go with you. I'm not like saying I don't want to go. Yeah, but if you wanted to take a friend and have a fun, like this is a gift for you, not a date for you, you know."
Yeah.
And it was just, and ultimately we went together. Which was lovely.
Those pictures are adorable.
They are.
But, like, a couple hours before we're leaving, she suddenly comes in, like, triumphant. And she was like, "I got this email a couple days ago and just saw it." But apparently, like, the first 100 people to get to, like, the table at the arena, like, you can get a tour of the locker rooms. And,
holy shit.
Like, get on the ice after the game.
Oh, nice.
And stuff like that. And it was like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know?
Yeah.
And so we did. We got there and we... The thing is my daughter... So Mariucci Arena, where the Gophers play, my daughter has actually, the last 2 years, her final, like... Not last year, because... The 2 years previous, her final, like, end-of-year jamboree was at Mariucci.
Nice.
And so I've been in those locker rooms.
Sure.
With her, you know? And so it was just kind of like, so we got there and we're like, okay, what does the locker room tour entail?
Right.
Like, is this like a guided tour or is this just like a 5 minute, like, yep, that's
where we keep them.
That's where the players get changed. Cool. And it was during the first period of play. So it was like players leave. Players are on the ice playing, people walk in, look at all their shit, and then walk out.
Huh.
And it was just like, okay, one, I don't think I need to do that.
That's a little weird.
It did seem a little weird to me.
A little voyeuristic.
And two, I've already been in there, and if it's not going to be like a guided tour, if you're not getting more information
and
in some way, shape, or form.
And this set of lockers was donated to us by Mary F. Eisenhower.
Yeah, and they're like, no, it's like a 5 minute in and out type thing. And it was just like, I'd rather just watch the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so we did. So we just sat down and had, you know, had some beer and mini donuts and a pretzel and watched some hockey and watched the Gophers get absolutely trounced. But it's okay because they were trounced by Duluth, so Minnesota won.
Yay!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm okay with.
Yeah, we were watching exactly. We were watching the game, and we're like, we win either way. Screw right. with this yeah. one. And then after the game, like I said, we got to go out on the ice and actually walk around and be like, we're on the ice here and stuff like that. So that was pretty neat.
Nice.
You
know.
That is super neat.
And that was date night.
Aw,
nice.
And then we went home and we had booze. Because I don't know if you are familiar with Tasting History with Max Miller, but if you're not familiar with Tasting History with Max Miller, get the fuck on YouTube and subscribe to Tasting History with Max Miller.
Oh.
Because Jesus fucking Christ, you should be watching Tasting History with Max Miller.
Wait, was that Tasting History with Max Miller?
It's fucking Tasting History with Max Miller.
Oh, it's fucking Tasting History.
Like, just fucking subscribe
Tasting
to
Tasting History with Max Miller?
But now he has Max a spinoff. He has a spinoff called Drinking History.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
is it Drinking History with Max Miller?
I think it's probably Drinking History with Max Miller, but I...
Okay.
Oh, sure.
But either way, watch it, because it's... Not only is it a great cooking show, he's amazing. He used to... Okay, so Max Miller...
of Drinking History with Max Miller.
Yeah, he used to work at Disney as like Prince Charming.
Okay.
So he's like
Jesus.
Like he's square jawed and like really like good.
He's got the look.
He's got the Disney like Prince good looks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so wholesome and aww. Nice and just a genuinely nice person. Aww. And his fiance, now husband, behind the scenes is just like their relationship is so wholesome and so wonderful, and he's just he's like the reading rainbow of food, and it's
ooh.
And but he'll go through and he'll be like, here is a recipe from Pliny the Elder. And we're gonna go through and here's the recipe and here's how we had to change it because you can't get some of these ingredients anymore.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And here's some weird ingredients, but this is how you can get it. And then we're gonna make it, and then we're gonna talk about the history of, you know, the time period and stuff like that. And then we're gonna taste what I made. And sometimes it's like, oh, this is surprisingly good. And sometimes he's like, and I'm not gonna eat any more of this.
Oh God!
But he does. He all sorts of things, just like from Greece and Rome to the, you know, French nobility to Middle Eastern foods to ancient Chinese stuff and just all over the board, but it's always it's always historically tied, and it's really interesting. And then he started Drinking History, and we one of the most recent episodes was apple toddy, and it was a recipe from Chapman, Johnny Appleseed, basically, and it starts with Applejack.
Oh.
And it's like Applejack and sugar and then half of a baked apple.
What?
And then nutmeg and hot water. And you basically like half the fucking glass is Applejack. And then put in some sugar. This and then you like pour in hot
night.
Water and nutmeg and you drop in half a baked apple.
Yep. I'm in.
And the thing is the best part is it's like he's sipping and he's like, oh, this is really good. And he's like, I'm not really sure why the half a baked apple is in there because it really doesn't contribute any flavor, you know, except when you get to the bottom and you just have a apple soaked in booze. Oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's
no, okay.
Right.
Yes. I talked, figured it out.
took me a minute. Got yep. there.
We got... Yep. But yeah, and so that's what we had. We got back from our date night, and we had some apple toddies with my homemade Applejack, and it was pretty fucking good.
Nice.
That sounded amazing, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, fantastic.
Nice. Tasting history with Max Miller.
Tasting history with Max Miller.
Tasting history with Max Miller.
Like, I'm not getting paid for this shit, but I'm still going to put a link on the show notes because it's genuinely
maybe not. I think it's a YouTube thing, so it'd be youtube.com/.
Oh, no, he's got merch.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay. Well, never mind.
CasimirTheHungry.society6.
I have a Casimir shirt. Mm-hmm. No, that sounds really, really good.
Holy shit, he is handsome.
Isn't he?
Holy fuck.
I can't see.
Fuck.
I need. Oh,
look
buddy.
At that. Like.
Oh, look at you.
He looks like.
Oh, he looks like a sweetie.
He looks like the brawny guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like sweeter though. Like he's still got. He's sure. got a baby face.
A little bit of a baby face.
To have some hair on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a mix between.
It's really cute.
Like if the brawny man had a baby face, absolutely.
Yes.
So if the brawny man shaved.
It's the brawny young adult.
but this was literally a project he started because the pandemic hit.
Oh,
and he was like, I've got free time, so I'm going to make a YouTube channel where I make historical recipes, and now he's fucking famous.
Well, I mean, it can happen.
Jose, that's his spouse's name. I couldn't remember his spouse's name.
Brad Pitt was discovered handing out flyers for a restaurant in a chicken suit, so, you know.
I would just do that for funsies if I was Brad Pitt, though.
Fair.
I would just be like,
yeah, I wonder if he's ever tempted, if he ever wakes up in a cold sweat, just, my chicken suit. Someone should make, like, these are your odds of being famous kinds of things with all of this hard work. These are your odds of being famous. Chicken suit for the teenage soul.
The most recent recipe he made was Why Vampires Hate Garlic.
Huh.
A Transylvanian recipe. And it's basically a pot roast with this garlic sauce.
Holy fuck.
And it looks amazing.
All right. Well, now I'm going to need to send that link to Joe. Yeah.
All right. All right.
Anyway.
You already had me. But now.
Yeah. It...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That's what I did.
That's what you did.
I had 3 dates this weekend.
And boy, are your arms tired?
Something about them is tired.
Actually, yes. I went to the chiropractor today because I was misaligned.
Because of all of the walking.
Was probably from a different...
Because of all of the walking.
...thing.
But...
So I also helped a friend repair... start the repair work on their retaining wall for their house. The wood timbers that are out there last.
Wood does,
yeah.
And just kind of.
Yep. Meh. And the people who shored them up last time, before he was the homeowner, they did a really slapdash effort, and so I spent my Saturday morning moving. 11 or 12 wheelbarrows full of dirt and uphill
both ways,
which meant that just to drop it off, just to dump it, and then let me tell you, man, that empty wheelbarrow downhill, that is relaxation right there. You feel good, like, man, yes. I wish it could be like this all the time. Oh, that was a shitload of work, and that was where I injured my arms. Moving the timbers, which are weirdly heavy. So there was that. But yeah, I had 3 really nice dates, 3 very different dates. But the one that I want to talk about is one of my partners and I decided that we were going to go to dinner and bring her kids. And her kids are fucking adorable. They're like 8 and 14.
Oh, wow.
And so the 14-year-old is like 90% science questions by volume.
Okay.
Right. And there were times where I was like, I'd have to consult a friend who's
an actual scientist,
biologist. I'd have to, but a lot of this stuff is just like loose assorted knowledge that I picked up watching Newton's Apple.
Okay.
And other similar things. Bill Nye. And so,
the science guy. 3-1
contact.
That, yeah.
Square One.
Mr. Right. Wizard.
Being able to be Beekman's World, yeah. Being able to answer some of those questions, just like
Sesame Street,
out of pocket, was kind of nice. But yeah, his family has gotten tired of answering his science questions, so he's very enthusiastic to have new blood in the arena. And then
here, you
right, and then the smallest was just thrilled to be invited on a dinner date.
Aww.
And so she spent the whole week picking out her outfit.
Aww.
And everything, like, just flipping adorable. That's these two so kids. Sweet. Yeah, so yeah, we took them for Chinese food and then and dropped them off and then went and watched a bunch of the Goes Wrong show. It's a British program, very similar to Noises Off, but I would say that it is far more...
It's like the show that goes wrong?
In some ways, yes. I guess I have that in the wrong order. The show that goes wrong? I thought it was the Goes Wrong show. Huh.
No, it's a play. Or, no, the play that goes wrong.
Quite possibly.
Okay.
They... Community theater level actors, not saying anything bad about community theater... or their actors.
Yeah, I think it's
but if you are of the group to take umbrage to that, you also know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I did community theater for years. Yeah.
It is the play that goes wrong.
Okay.
So screw you, James.
I think the show is the Goes Wrong show, and it's a series of episodes.
Huh.
Yeah. They have two series, because it's a British program. And it's... I wholeheartedly fucking recommend it to you. Mm. If we for our second act, if we do what have you been watching, what have you been reading, etc., I would love to talk about that more. So I will, for the moment, give my that particular part a rest. So yeah, we watched that and cuddled, and it was just like good. It was very nice.
It's not on BritBox.
No, I think it's on the Broadway streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly. Yeah. Huh. So there's that. Or possibly Acorn? I don't know.
I'll have to.
Yeah. The that show is fantastic. But there was that. And then I felt very accomplished and spent much of my Saturday evening before my date just hanging out with Charles, best friend, former landlord, and dogs, and just doing nothing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely,
actually. Played some video games. I played a bunch of Luigi's Mansion, which is...
Nice.
This is the right time of year for that. It's kind of the right game for this time of year, especially if you're not super into horror. It's not scary, but there are like little startles and surprises and secret passages and fun, interesting things, you know?
Yeah. Ghosts!
Functionally, yeah. It's very Scooby-Doo. Nice.
See, it is that very is why Scooby-Doo. We give her the red box.
Yeah, you're correct. I have never doubted this decision. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
you don't have to put out the red box. Roxanne. Yeah.
That's most of what I was up to.
Mm. Should we take a break?
Yes.
I'm here for it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
Oh wait, I'm the one with the button.
Yeah, I push these buttons. You push those buttons.
Okay.
James pushes our emotional and intellectual buttons.
Pun buttons.
Oh, Jesus pun Christ. Buttons. Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
And we're back. Oh, I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Fuck, that was impeccable. I don't think I could peck that if I tried. Yeah.
So. What y'all been watching, reading, media-ing?
Well, like I said earlier, I played Monster Prom.
Yes, how was that?
Have you ever played Monster Prom?
I have not.
Oh my goodness, let me tell you about Monster Prom.
Oh my goodness.
Oh
heavens.
It's so adorable when you guys try to be proper. So anyway, Monster Prom is basically, it's like a sim dating game, kind of, more or less. But you're a monster at Monster High, where there's other monsters, and you try to romance the monsters. And you basically do so by, like, building up different stats.
Okay.
The goal is to, at the end, ask a monster out to prom and have them accept. So you build up stats that this monster prizes, right? Like, if you want to ask out the nerdy one, you build up your smart stats. If you want to ask out the cool one, you build up your coolness or whatever, charm, I think, whatever. That kind of a thing. So that's the premise. However, the way in which this game goes about setting up scenarios and telling story is ridiculous and incredible. So say you want to build up like your smart stats, you go to the library, I guess. I don't know. I've only played it a handful of times, but and then there'll be a situation that you have to handle there, and you get a choice and you have to pick, and I can't even remember a specific situation right now, but they're just ridiculous, weird, off the wall kind of situations, and the way that they go about this storytelling is just fun. It's fun. And James, I don't know if you can think of a specific situation.
There's one of the monsters is an AI in an old computer body, and one of the others is like the prince of demons instead of the lord of demons, and he's demanding of the computer guy that he show him his secret computerized weapon, the one that can destroy the world, and you have to side with one of them or the other. You either have to distract the Prince of Demons so that he'll leave the computer guy alone, or you also you join in and say, like, oh yeah, there's a button over here on his back that says secret weapon, why don't you push it? Right.
Yeah. And it's just like, so it's those kinds of choices, but the story that goes along with it, the conversation and the interplay between the characters is what really kind of just sells the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. I remember the first time my daughter told me about it, I was like, well, that sounds stupid. And she's like, watch this playthrough. And I was like, okay, I get it now. So, played Monster Prom. I've also been playing Valheim. Oh, Monster Prom is apparently on sale right now.
Ooh, yes, it is.
So, like, the choices that you make, is it like burn down the orphanage or rescue the orphans type thing? Like, really simple, like...
I mean, if the orphans were real shitty.
Okay, but I'm wondering...
making a judgment call. You
is it
just
like a gray area, or is it a pretty straightforward choice, or is it like
not
sometimes hidden consequences, or like what's...
Always hidden consequences. Okay.
Always hidden consequences.
Okay. Always hidden consequences. Okay. So even if you're making a choice where you're like, if I make this choice, this will happen, and the answer is no, that's not what happens.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like... Like in the one that James said, you know, the secret weapon, if you push the button, my guess is that it doesn't actually launch the secret weapons, or if it does, it does so in such a way that ridiculousness and comedy ensues.
Mm. Yeah. Or it's so secret that you don't even know anything happened.
Right.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yep. So it's just ridiculous story like
okay.
that.
Okay. Interesting.
And yeah, apparently it's on sale right now.
Did you win?
I lost my first one and I won my second one.
Holy okay. shit.
What?
I have played Monster Prom and Monster Prom 2, and I have never won that.
What?
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, because the thing about the choices is that they kind of tie to different stats that you're mm-hmm. using, so there's like a little bit of the stat roleplay okay. aspect to it. So if you're choosing between the two, I wouldn't actually try to go for the one that makes the most sense. I would try to go for the one that I have better stats to achieve.
All right.
Right?
That's what I've been doing wrong.
Yeah. No, Tom told me about that.
Gotcha.
Like right off the bat was like, because I'm like, I don't know how to make a decision here. This is dumb. And Tom's like, well, it probably speaks to specific stats. And I'm like, what? And that's why you get the little bubble that'll say so bold or so charming or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it was that kind of roll that you're rolling against.
So were you playing cooperatively with Tom or versus or?
It's kind alongside, I guess. Like, okay. So you've got like, it's a very player one, player two kind of thing.
Okay.
So player one gets the first turn, player two gets the second, then you randomize it and then whatever. So you're both independently trying to build your own stats towards whichever end, whichever. They're
running parallel. Okay.
Yeah. It's running parallel. You can kind of fuck with each other a little bit.
Okay.
If you know the other person is trying to go for this particular monster at lunch hour, you can
cock block
them, yeah. basically.
You can keep them from going to the place where they want to go.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can do it that way. Mm-hmm. We didn't because the story is so much more fun. And it doesn't matter.
Just trying to get a feel for
like,
the game.
Yeah. So no, everybody can win and everybody can lose. And that first game, everybody lost.
Yeah, that like, happened in mine also.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's silly, ridiculous fun.
Might have to give that a look-see.
Yeah. It can be really hard to figure out which stat you're using on some of those choices, though. Like, I'm looking at this one, I'm like, that could be boldness, that could be charm, that could be, son of a bitch. Like, and just trying to figure out, well, which one do I have the more likelihood of achieving based mm-hmm. on my stats? Because they don't tell you up front. Mm-hmm. It's not roll for boldness, it's, this is your option.
Sure, yeah.
Well, and even if you think you've got it figured out, they'll take a hard left, be like, oh, because you distracted attention away from this thing, now you have to improv some kind of thing, and it uses a completely different set of stats than the ones that you thought it would. So, yeah.
So it's not for the serious, don't take it seriously.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah.
You cannot take it seriously. You can't play it right. You can only play it fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a lot of fun even when you don't do well.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
Yeah.
And we did a thing where we, because a lot of the scenarios have conversation that happens between the different monsters. So we picked different monsters and made different voices for them and read out loud what was happening.
Brilliant.
So we got to do some do our own voiceover work, which was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, voice acting that game is.
Yeah.
Is for me that's a huge part of my enjoyment. Like it's very well written, and so voice acting it is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Also played Valheim, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We went. We're like, okay, this last Wednesday. We're like, this is it. We're gonna go defeat the Elder. And so we bulked up on everything. We made sure we were...
Narrator, they did not defeat the Elder.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Wait for this.
Oh.
So we get there. We're well rested and we get there and we get in and I'm doing... I'm the distance person.
Sorry, the elder is in another castle.
Oh, God. Huh. And so, like, we have our plan, and we go for it, and we defeated the elder. Scarily easily.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. So we, you know, got the thing that we needed.
I feel like the three of you probably work together well.
Yeah, more or less. Unless one of us gets distracted, which can totally happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then we were like, well, we should do that again because you can get another trophy and we want one to hang up in our mead hall.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. Be like, haha, we got the elder. So we went to go fight him again. However, we did not stop to... restock on things. Like, I looked over my stuff cursory and I was like, no, I've got enough arrows for this. Like, I only used like a third of my fire arrows and things like
not
this.
Not a problem.
And, you know, I've still got plenty of food for my health and all of the rest of that. And the other two were like, yeah, we can totally do this. The thing that we forgot to check on was the time of day. When darkness hits, that's when all the things come out. So we started fighting the elder and we're doing okay-ish.
Sure.
And then suddenly there's a troll.
Fuck.
And then there's gray dwarfs and gray shaman and like all of these other just creatures. Like, so we got to take care of these guys. But it was that troll. It was that fucking troll.
Narrator, they did not defeat the elder.
No, right. Not the second time we didn't. And we're just like, we died like 15 times and like eventually
defeat
we're
me
like,
once shame on me.
Right,
I think
so. Yeah, we had to, like, once it got to be daytime we went back and collected all of our dead tombstone-y things, because what happens in Valheim is you're already dead, so like it kind of doesn't matter, but you die in Valheim you get like this little tombstone-y thing that has all of your possessions in it,
right?
And so you have to get back there to get all of your possessions.
Souls, yeah.
Mm-hmm. However, there's probably a bunch of monsters still there.
Of course there are.
Because you left them there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, once we were able to finally reclaim all of our stuff, then we... just a touch. perfect. Then we were like, fuck it, we're out.
Yeah.
And we just left.
Because
we got the one thing that we needed.
Sure.
We needed to defeat the elders. So
another
we could
night,
do like iron or something. I don't even remember. But So
in order to get the trophy, you have to defeat them more than once?
So you defeat the trophy. Okay, so you've got certain boss fights, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And the elder is the second boss fight. Mm-hmm. And with each one of those, you get a trophy. But there's a place where you go to hang the trophies so that you can get powers for having done that. So we had a trophy from the first defeat that we were going to go hang up in our little stone thing so that we could get powers. I don't know which powers we get, but so we can go do that. But we wanted another trophy that we could just have as decoration.
Gotcha.
And since it was so easy the first time, we didn't think this would be a problem, and we were incorrect.
So the redundant trophies become decoration.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now
basically.
I understand.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Good times.
And then I planted a bunch of carrots and made a bunch of mead. Like, that was pretty, like...
As one does.
The rest of it, Jess and Steve did a bunch of exploring on the boat.
Hmm.
We're trying to find a good spot where we can get some iron so that we can get a specific forge or capability. I don't even know. Steve's in charge. Which is lovely, because I don't want to be, because
Fair
I'm
enough.
In charge all the rest of the time, and fuck it, this is my night off. So they're scouting out different areas. I think we got another queen bee, so we can set up another beehive so we can get more honey so I can make more mead, which the mead actually can act as different potions, essentially.
Nice.
For, like, health and stamina. And
cool.
One of them is, like, anti-poison.
Gotcha.
So if you get poisoned...
That's incredibly helpful.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get drunk enough.
Well, one of the meads is just tasty mead.
Taste.
It does nothing other than exist.
Plus one to flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, so then we played that. Mm-hmm. And those are the games I've been playing, really. I haven't been doing a lot of phone games. I have also, though, been watching The Runaways.
Marvel's The Runaways? Yep. Ah.
Finally got into that. I'm about halfway through.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's way more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
How far into it are you?
Halfway, first season.
What just happened? I mean...
Oh, gosh. What did just happen?
Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no, I'm so bad at... It's one of those things where, specifically how my brain's been working lately, like, I won't remember it until I go to start watching that's it fair. Again, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's where I'm at.
That's fair. Gotcha.
That's
fair. So, like, I'm trying to remember... The kids all just, like, had their first, essentially, boss fight where all of their powers, like, got actualized to each other.
Okay. Huh.
So. So, yeah.
All right.
It's about where I'm at. And I think they only did the one season.
Is that as far as I know.
Like? Yeah. I'm like, I want there to be more seasons, yeah. But it only looks like the one. So, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Eh. So, yeah.
Nice. I have been playing Omega Boost, the old PlayStation 1 game. I forgot how fucking great it is. But it is. It's in my top 10. Games of all time.
Yeah. Why?
It's very different from almost anything else. It came out before Zone of the Enders, but it's got a giant robot in it, but it's also like a rail shooter. It's kind of like Space Harrier if you could turn around in Space Harrier. You maneuver and you actually have to be pretty good at flying this thing. And you also have very simple weapons, so it's almost like a Raiden Trad or a Gradius or some other... like a top-down shooter, but from behind the vehicle.
Okay.
And the bosses are very different. So the same strategy is not going to work every time. They are, in fact, designed to thwart you. And the story behind it is that the singularity has happened and an AI is going back in time to infect ENIAC, the first computer, with the seed of this machine so that it can actualize earlier and take humanity by surprise in a very, you know, Terminator-style thing.
Okay.
And because in order to travel back in time, it has to use the core of a planet and a giant robot suit to make it happen, you are in pursuit in your own giant robot in order to stop it from traveling back in time or follow it and stop it. So, yeah, it's really fucking cool. The soundtrack is unbelievable. Even for a PlayStation 1 era game, the graphics are really decent. And it controls very smoothly for a game that didn't use joysticks. Playing it, I was like, man, a joystick would have really fucking nailed this on the head. But, you know, hit the nail upon the top. But nope. No, it's very well designed. That and Luigi's Mansion I've been playing.
Oh, sure.
What I've been watching, aside from the Goes Wrong show, is The Good Place. Getting caught up. I'm excited to watch the last season. So I'm starting from the beginning to make sure that I have all the
remember all of that, yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things that if we all get caught up, we can have a conversation about it, or five, because it's been long enough.
Mm-hmm. I've also been watching Star Wars Visions, which is fucking incredible.
What is this?
Star Wars Visions is a series of animated episodes, short films, really, in the Star Wars universe. Right. And some of them are very Akira Kurosawa like.
Okay.
In design, but they're all very different. They're all fucking amazing to watch. They each one does something different very well. Some of them do a lot of things very well. But it's worth your time, and it's good if you even like animated stuff a little bit. And if you are a fan of Star Wars, this is the apex of those interests. And the soundtrack, again, is good. The visuals, great. Yeah. Well-directed, well-acted. They chose really good voice actors for each different thing. So, yeah. Highly recommend it. I think it's the very first one is kind of a Star Wars take on the Kurosawa film Yojimbo.
Okay.
That Fistful of Dollars is based on. The Spaghetti Western. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So there's that. And then what I've been reading / listening to. I've really been getting into audiobooks lately.
Okay.
I definitely had a kind of a audiobooks kind of thing going on in my head, but honestly, that's what podcasts are. You're welcome.
This is the weirdest fucking audiobook.
Yeah, it is.
We lost the plot years ago.
We had a plot?
This is like, it's 10 years of one Family Circus comic where they tell Billy to go get the thing. And then it shows the dotted line. 10 years of dotted line, folks. All right.
Yep.
So I'm so excited for you to flip to the next page. That's when Jeffy learns about the word fuck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us more about this.
No. But I've been listening to Cryptonomicon. Because I've realized that I only allow myself to sit down and read something when I am permitting myself not to be busy.
Okay.
And that happens very rarely.
I don't know if I could listen to Cryptonomicon, though.
I'm doing both.
Some people can, some people can't.
I can listen to a lot of books that are just, like, plot. But Cryptonomicon is a lot of thought.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of book I would need to be able to, like,
so he's
read
talking about,
again and jump forward and backward and just kind of absorb.
Sure. Reading it, I find that I have to do that a lot more than I do if I'm listening to it. It's for some of the things.
Possibly.
Especially the different voices and things like that really help me to differentiate.
But I mean, I'm not even talking about, like, the voices.
But when you're talking
plot,
about
I'm talking
conceptual
about, like, the,
things,
yeah, exactly,
with, like,
the math.
You're talking about, like,
and the
Turing's bicycle.
Yeah, exactly.
Comparison.
Exactly what I was thinking of. Actually.
The moment that he started talking about Turing's bicycle and the link and the thing and how it matches up, I was like, oh, I immediately understand every part of this diagram.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I have the diagram of the bicycle and how it overlaps with.
Well, see, I needed to, like, go back
things.
And forth and cross-reference that one to just kind of absorb.
Maybe the reader's just very good.
Possibly.
I was gifted a copy of Adam Savage's Every Tool is a Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Savage is one of the Mythbusters.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of the two. And not only is he talking about his history as a maker, but he's talking about the future of making, and especially he's talking about his particular ethos in the makerspace, not only externally, but internally. He has an entire chapter on what he loves about lists and checks, checkboxes. So you might really...
I'm a list person.
Yeah, so...
Oh, buddy, yeah.
So, yeah, it's... and he talks about... like deep dives into some of his favorite props, how looking at the prop led him to research this thing, and when he researched this thing, he noticed the difference between how it is in the real world and how it is when this filmmaker did it, but he knows that that filmmaker has a very high attention to detail and would never have added those things without meaning it. And so then in his head, he's constructing, well, what did he mean by adding those things to this prop? And like reading about this filmmaker and discovering that it's a joke that this filmmaker added to this comedy film that would just completely skip under the radar for a huge number of people. Right, yeah. So it's like, yeah. It's fucking fascinating. And it's one of the things that I love most about watching him make things is not only seeing his expertise at work, because he's got Bob Ross levels of expertise with crafting things, mm-hmm. And also reading the choices that he's making about tool usage and how to hold things and where to mark things and all of that stuff. It's all fucking fascinating. But hearing him describe not just those things that you can pick up there, but the foundation of the ethos. And especially if you get riff back from it, where he's talking about in the maker space, if you're addressing your work properly, you're setting everything up ahead of time, you know, the same way that I do with like Legos, sorting them by different categories, mm-hmm. so that when it says you need two of these
right.
little widgets, I know exactly where that thing is going to be, or at least where to look for it very
quickly. That's how I do IKEA furniture.
That too. Yep. But he's talking about that, and he relates it to the restaurant, the mise en place, mm-hmm. the everything yep. in its place.
That was actually the first thing I thought about yes. before yeah. you jumped to Lego.
Right, and that was the riff back that I got. And he mentioned that, and I was like, oh, mise en place. And he's like, which in the restaurant industry is called mise en place. And I was like, yes. And he's talking about all of these different things. Yep. Fuck, it's so good. Mm. It's really encouraging. And it's about, I want to say, 6.5-7 hours long yeah. for listening. Okay. So
thoroughly interesting.
Not everybody can listen to audiobooks. Mm-hmm. Not everybody likes it, and that's fine. But especially for me, being able to take in a book, I do a lot of driving. And especially on road trips and things like that, being able to listen to that kind of thing keeps my brain engaged and
sure.
and is really fucking amazing. It is, I have to say, probably one of the very short list of things I miss about going into the office mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. that my daily commute gave me a chance to
sure, yeah.
to absorb these things and podcasts. But I fully recommend this book. But yeah, I was delighted to find out when I downloaded the audiobook for Cryptonomicon, in addition to also having the digital copy and a hard copy, thank you, Salsa, that I downloaded the digital copy or purchased the digital copy to read on an airplane and then forgot to download it.
Oh.
So, that. Yeah. But yeah, so I already had that and I was like, I'm always reading this when I feel sleepy, and so I'll get, you know, 2-3 pages under my belt and then knock the fuck out. Which is not ideal.
Sure.
So I got the audiobook and I was like, am I going to listen to the whole thing again? But it turns out that these two services are both owned by the same company and they lock together, so it started me where I left off in the book.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
And I was like, holy shit. Well, all right then.
That's
I can just
pretty fucking cool.
When I want to listen to it as an audiobook in the car or doing dishes or cooking, I do that. And then if I have the opportunity to sit down and think, I'm on the potty, if I'm going to sleep, if you know, whatever, and I want to read that book,
that's pretty clever.
Then it just takes me to the correct page.
Nice.
And I pick it up. Yeah, it's fucking great. That is the best
technology
of both worlds.
Technology is cool.
What service yeah. is that again?
It's through Amazon. It's Kindle and Audible.
Okay, sure.
Yes. So, I'm not a huge fan of giving money to Amazon, but...
However.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Playing, I've been playing Just Cause 2...
Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not.
You did.
So.
Yeah. Did I? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because I made a joke about why are you playing it? Just Cause.
I see.
Yeah.
But yeah, no,
but that's okay.
Been playing that. I'm enjoying it. You know, it's kind of a mindless, repetitious type game, and that works for me. So
sure. Have you ever played Minecraft?
Here is task, Jesus do task. Christ. I hate Minecraft.
Huh.
Because there's no goal.
Huh.
Yeah.
There's no story. Eh, not my thing.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's really what I've been playing. I've been watching BritBox.
I, for one, am shocked.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I watched, it's a 3-part documentary.
Mm-hmm.
It was called A Very British Murder.
Huh.
And what they talk, what it basically was famous British murders and their influence on British murder literature.
Okay.
Oh.
So like Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. And then, you know, how these like murders made changes to the way police do their work,
mm-hmm.
and how that influenced Arthur Conan Doyle, and how that influenced Agatha Christie, and how that influenced, you know, other writers of murders.
Oh, that's fun.
And how the literature started as, you know, you've got the country house trope.
Oh, yeah.
You have a bunch of...
7 people arrive to a country manor.
Yeah, 7 aristocrats in a country manor, and somebody dies, and the one person happens to be a detective, and, you know, everything is neatly wrapped up at the end. And then how real-life murders of, like, Jack the Ripper, of everyday people,
mm-hmm.
then influence the literature to murders of everyday people as opposed to aristocrats. You know?
Sure, yeah.
And
the aristocrats.
You know, and but it was just like, I never realized it. But yeah, early murder literature and like detective stories were about hoity-toity people.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you're right, it is. You know, it's Lord blah 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 was murdered in his study. It, you know, and so then literature changed. And then like, Agatha Christie wrote a book that completely shocked the world, because at the end of the book, you find out that the murderer is the narrator of the book, and how that was just game changing, you know, because suddenly instead of one of the guests, you realize that the narrator has been an unreliable narrator this whole time, and you've been trying to figure it out.
Oh, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
God, I just hate how some narrators are so unreliable. I know,
but it was actually really, really interesting.
Showing up late for chapter one.
And then the host goes back and forth between what was happening in crime literature and then real life murderers, and how the one influenced the other and changed how things worked, you know, and policing changed, you know, because like in the early days, cops were, they walked a beat and they prevented crime. They didn't.
Sure.
Once the crime happened, they were just like, I don't know, you know, like this big murder happened. And
unless there was an obvious.
And within a day, you know, half the town had tromped through the house.
Right.
You know, gawking at it because they weren't collecting evidence or anything like that. That's not how things work.
No.
You know.
Right.
So, but really fascinating. If you're a fan of mystery novel or, you know, crime novels like Agatha Christie or something like that. And then that led me directly to, it was David Suchet who played Poirot famously for many, many. It was David Suchet on The Orient Express.
Oh.
And so it's, you know, him, the actor, on the actual Orient Express, traveling from Britain to Istanbul.
Fuck, that's awesome.
And talking about, you know, this is the way this train, this is the history of the train, this is, you know, when he's talking to the people, and they were like, yes, this is one of the original train cars, you know, and you know, this is when Agatha Christie was writing Murder on the Orient Express, here are some of the little details that you know, are key points in the plot, you know, this little thing here and this little thing here. And he's like, oh yeah, I like that thing she's describing in this book here it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Fuck.
And
yeah.
And just the opulence and the craft that goes into the train cars and, you know, the people that work on the train cars, you know, he spent, you know, some time in like the kitchen car, you know, and they're like, you know, these people are like cooking all these meals every day on a train. He's like, David Suchet's like, I had a souffle.
Yeah.
On a train. How do you make a souffle on a train? And then he, you know, and then he's talking to the people in the kitchen. They're like, what's the hardest part about working in a kitchen on a train? And they're like, the souffles.
Yeah.
And he's like, why would you do that to yourself? And they're like, because of the challenge.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get a souffle to not collapse on a shaking, juddering train?
Fair fucking enough.
You know? And just like the fact that the Orient Express, the cars travel together, but every country they go through, the train, the engine uncouples, and an engine for that country hooks up and takes them to the next country. And then that engine unhooks, and then an engine from that country connects and takes them to the next country.
Interesting.
And so, it was very interesting. And, like, they were going through...
Like, we don't deal with that a lot in the United States, because each of our states is the size of a European country. So,
And I suppose they would want to make sure that they get their fucking...
I want my train back.
Train back, yeah.
Fucking, engine here.
It's not the one engine that takes them all the way. It's like, no, each country has their own engine for this train.
Huh.
And...
I would never have thought.
And then, like, for the Austria, because the bit that they're going through Austria, you know, Austria has kind of that panhandle.
Okay.
You know, and so between...
Yeah, it's the Florida of the
Between
European Union.
Between Germany and Italy... There's just that, or Italy, or whatever. There's just that little thin. It's like 50 miles or something like that.
Okay.
And they're like, would you like to drive the train? And David Suchet is like, what? And they're like, yeah. In the history of this, you know, train in the history of the Orient Express, no one that doesn't work for the train company has ever driven this train. You're the first.
Shit.
And he was like, what?
Oh my God, yes.
Very cool.
Fuck.
You know, things like that. And, you know, they're on one stretch they're going and he's talking to the manager of the Orient Express and he's like, this train car that we're in right now has something that only this train car still has.
Oh.
Because it's a health and safety issue.
Okay.
But we still have it on this train as part of the historical thing. And it's the candle holders in the hallway.
Oh.
Because before electric lights, it was it was candles down the hallway.
Yeah.
And so they have these candle holders that they fold up flat during the day. And then they unfold at night. And they would put the candles in.
Okay.
Holy
and
shit.
It's just like this really cool shit. It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
So. Huh. Check it out.
No, that's what I watched. Fantastic. I saw Noises Off, by the way.
That's so good.
It's very good. It called to mind that there is a very clear delineation between the American and the British cringe humor.
Yes.
For me.
Yeah.
And this is a gross generalization. But
you're a gross generalization.
But face is a gross generalization.
If you watch Noises Off, and especially if you watch Noises Off, has it very mildly, and it kind of has both, where the American cringe comedy seems to be very much, I can see what's going to happen at some point, and I really, need or want this. I just like I'm dreading.
Here it comes.
The dread builds, and people who like cringe comedy will start laughing because that's their instinct on it, is when they're uncomfortable, intensely uncomfortable, they enjoy that, where it comes out as laughter for them. Where British cringe comedy, not The Office notwithstanding, but British cringe comedy seems to be more, I see this thing that is about to happen and I can't fucking wait. I'm so excited for this misunderstanding to occur.
I still don't like it. It's not my... I don't like cringe comedy either way.
I think, like I said, I think there's a difference. I think they're both technically cringe comedy, but one of them, I think, requires a deft hand, because it's not just... What's the worst thing that could happen here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't know. I definitely prefer the latter. Yeah. What else have you been watching or reading?
That's my list.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I sure as shit want to watch that, though.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
BritBox, everyone.
Also, have you been watching Tasting with some
Max
guy?
Headroom?
Never heard of it.
Oh, Jesus.
I think it's Max Miller.
Oh, I have been watching one other thing.
Oh, yeah?
It's hockey season, baby!
Oh, holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've been watching some hockey.
That's all I'm going to say about it.
That's fair.
But we are going to take a break now.
Oh, good.
Yay!
Yay!
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And are back.
Oh, all right. Ooh.
I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
This is a podcast.
And it is time...
Dun, dun, dun. For a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Jay. James!
All right. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's
take it away,
Fast Five, question number one.
That's why
I was...
I didn't know if you were going to do like something more.
Oh, I love you both. Question number one. Wood or stone?
Wood.
Well, all right.
Actually, I like stone, though, too. I like both. Can I have both?
I chose wood. All right.
I'm going to go wood, because that was my first gut, but I really like stone, so...
Mm-hmm. Like if it's
making fires out of wood.
Huh.
Not so good at making them with stone.
Tough but fair, yeah.
Yeah.
A cabin. Would you prefer like a stone cottage or would you prefer like a log cabin or something?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Question number two. Bat or ball?
Bat ball.
Ball bat.
Balls.
Huh.
Bat.
I also chose bat. All right. So I also chose ball because it's fun to say.
Not why I chose it.
Oh, why? Yeah. Why did you choose it?
Because I felt like it.
Yeah, we've given up on trying to figure out your context.
All right.
It's just, three. It's never going to happen.
Orange or apple?
It's easier to find a rhyme for apple.
It's true.
But I can eat oranges.
Oh.
So that.
I would rather have an apple cider, a warm apple cider, than a pumpkin spice latte.
And a pumpkin spice latte is orange in color?
Is orange.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I had in my brain. Fair enough. Sounds like something that you might do.
Huh. You're not wrong. Chose orange. Surprising no one.
I'm shocked.
Mm-hmm. But I might change it to apple. I think I'm going to change it to apple.
I feel like this one is going to have some context about literally comparing apples and oranges.
Oh, that seems likely.
Hmm.
Which do you think is the winning side?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh,
that would definitely be apples, because fuck oranges. You know how hard it is to break into an orange sometimes?
I
have that problems with apples. You just bite them.
I love it because I've gotten really good at peeling an orange in one go.
I'm really bad at it. Really bad at it.
It's
hard-boiled egg, I've got zero problems with.
Holy
I can take
shit.
A shell off like that.
I struggle.
But an orange, oranges or eggs? Like...
yeah.
Question number four. Oranges or eggs?
Apples or eggs?
Orange, you're glad
question
I didn't say.
Number four. Phone or computer?
Computer.
Oh, fuck.
Not one of the choices.
No. And especially during the context, yeah.
Do I play more games on my phone or on my computer? And I'm back to fuck.
By volume or by...
Right. Hours.
Area.
Like, I've got my phone with me everywhere, but pretty much everything I do that could be done on both is better on the computer.
Hmm.
You've got more space on
Except
the screen.
For the traveling.
You have a little more options.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say I just have my phone on me more often and I do more with my phone overall, so I'm going to go phone. Yeah.
I'm going to go computer.
All right.
All right. Question number five. Ice or sand?
Sand.
Ice.
I'm shocked, friends.
Would I rather
Deeply
spend
surprised.
A lovely day at a sandy beach?
Mm-hmm.
Or skating on the icy pond.
And, yep, going to sand.
Oh. Yeah, I gotta tell you, skating on the beach is really shitty.
Sunbathing on the ice is...
Effective.
Tricky.
Weirdly, highly effective.
I believe
effective.
It, but it's you gotta watch out for that right. hypothermia.
And now, the context. Thank you.
There.
Oh. Wood or stone? If you had to choose one vehicle to travel across the country.
Yeah, there's no way we were gonna get that one.
Would you choose an ox wagon or... A Flintstone mobile.
Ox wagon. The oxen are doing all the work.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at, too. I'm kind of lazy.
Fair enough.
I mean, how much traveling am I doing in this thing?
Across the country.
Across country.
Yeah.
But I mean,
why
you can stay
I
at hotels and stuff.
Yeah, but your feet would be
myself.
So done after
right?
5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I want an ox wagon.
All right.
Also, how else am I going to ford a river?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Or Cheviot River. So, question number two. Bat or ball? Given an afternoon having something on in the background,
okay.
Would you prefer The Munsters or I Love Lucy?
I Love Lucy. Is that...
I got it.
Is that
Jesus
bat or ball?
Jesus Christ, it's ball.
Yeah, Munsters is bad.
Lucille Ball.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah, I'm sad.
I'm happy with my choice. I'm Lucille Ball.
In the background?
Mm-hmm.
Probably neither, because I just start watching it.
Mm.
There is that risk.
I'm really bad at having things on in the background. Unless it's like a no lyric music.
Mm-hmm.
If there's words involved, my brain just goes to it.
I
cannot background that. So it basically becomes, which would I rather be distracted by? And I'm going to say I Love Lucy.
Huh. I would say Munsters.
I didn't get into the Munsters as much. They're all right, but I just didn't get into it.
I feel like if the Addams Family is the Beatles... The monsters are the monkeys.
The monkeys.
Good on sure. their own merit. A little different. But definitely...
And I couldn't even tell you why I didn't get into the monsters. Huh, I just didn't.
It is a different style of comedy from, for example, The Addams Family.
Right.
If you liked The Addams Family.
And I did.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Then chances are weirdly good that monsters weren't your thing.
I watched way more monsters than Addams Family.
Hmm. I watched a lot of both. But I also fucking love that theme song. So, yeah.
All right.
Question number 3. Orange or apple? Which do you prefer, given allowances for your allergies? If you were able to eat both, and this accounts for beverages, this accounts for casual eating.
Apple.
This accounts for...
Okay, I do love me a mimosa.
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing I did over the weekend. Joe and I went out for brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we got bottomless mimosas, and that was delightful. Mm.
How do they keep the drink in?
I was just remarking to my wife just the other day, because we watched an episode of Tasting History with Max Miller.
Was that Tasting History with Max Miller?
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact.
Someone else was talking about Tasting History
with Max Miller. Where he made an apple and cheese pie.
Mm.
And I was remarking to my wife how much I miss.
Oh, neither of us can have that.
How much I miss a chunk of cheese and an apple.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually,
yes.
I feel you there.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I'm going to say overall, I prefer apples and apple products to oranges and orange products.
I like the whole fruit I like about the same because they, for me, each have the thing that I enjoy about them. I actually really like unwrapping an orange.
Hate it.
I
also don't really like biting into an apple because I've got shitty teeth, and so I'm just scared I'm going to lose one.
I like to see how much of the apple I can eat in one bite.
I've made way more apple cider than orange mead.
Fair enough. Also, also good. Given the choice between apple red and orange, I would choose orange, surprising no one.
Mm.
But yeah, I think I've got to go with apple on this. Just probably because of cider, hot mulled cider.
Yeah, I do like hot cider.
There isn't really a hot orange drink that I think I would want. Maybe this is a thing that could happen. All right.
Meh.
I'm willing to be proven wrong because I do love an orange.
Right.
All right. Question number 4, phone or computer. If you had to have a text conversation with someone about a Facebook post, would you prefer to have this conversation on your phone, typing to them throughout the day, or would you prefer to have it on your computer? Also typing to them throughout the day. But just...
What, we're talking about a Facebook post?
You're talking about responding to someone by text. And it can be in the Facebook post, it can be in Messenger, it can be over text Messenger, but you're typing back and forth, the two of you.
Phone, I guess.
Hmm.
So just who do you want to text? Would you rather text on your phone or text on your computer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phone.
Huh. Very interesting.
If this is going to be a throughout the day thing, then I'm going to be doing other things.
If it's going to be throughout the day, then it's going to, I'm not going to sit there at a computer and just wait for the next opportunity to text back. That's true.
For me, I chose computer because especially when it comes to people being shitty in a Facebook post where I would feel compelled to have that conversation with them, the ability to, like, the editor on my computer is so much more refined. The Facebook app is such a hunk of shit. So is the Messenger app.
I think my phone heard you and is angry. Like, the thing is that I kind of have... No, I'm just going to leave this one be.
Okay.
I'm just leaving that.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I actually became phone notification averse for a while due to some friendships. So, yeah. All right. Question number 5, ice or sand? If you were paid $100,000 to choose and enact one of these things, would you, for that $100,000, choose 1 month at McMurdo Station, which is in Antarctica?
Antarctica.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a full complement of provisions, or a 1 year time on a deserted island with no provisions. Both of these are by yourself.
Antarctica.
Yeah, like this is an easy choice for Salsa.
Oh, yeah. Well, I figured the difference in time, because it's a small amount of time at McMurdo, or a very long time on a deserted island with no provisions. I thought possibly... Yeah.
No, the only thing that's making me contemplate the the McMurdo is the amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Do provisions factor into that at all?
Eh, kind of. Not really.
Okay.
I've done enough camping and reenactment stuff. I'm pretty sure I can figure out how to do a deserted island. First you find water.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You're surrounded by it.
Oh my god. Punch you.
Found it. That's right there.
One of those freshwater deserted islands.
Oh no. She didn't say potable. She just said find water.
Piss off. But no. I don't like any of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going with time just because I have more of my life to live.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like it. Still, for $100,000, I'll do, you know, either.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, because, like, in a year,
mm-hmm.
I'll be doing other things to make $100,000. So, yeah, probably the shitty freezing cold one.
I chose the freezing cold one because it would be like a spaceship, one. Two, provisions means little packets of things and tiny...
You like your tiny things.
Packets of stuff, yeah. I'm all about that. I loved when they gave meals on the airplanes. Yeah. That was number 5.
All right. If you would like to send in a Fast 5, please send 2 emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one we can include the choices, and the second one repeat those choices and then give us context.
Yeah, I feel like they could do better than me.
Does anybody have a shout-out?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to my ladies that I hung out with on Saturday. It's a specific group of ladies that I enjoy their company greatly. And I don't get to see them as much as I'd like to. And I had a lovely time, and it was just very good hanging out. All around awesomeness. And it was kind of a thing I needed, so. Fat.
I want to give a shout out to two of my friends who are getting married this weekend that have asked me to officiate their ceremony.
Yay.
So thank you, David and Maylin.
I'm going to give my shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Skullhead for having us over the other night into their hot tub.
Aww.
Because hot tubbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice and cold.
It's a hot tub. Oh.
No, the air was cold. The hot tub was warm.
Oh, that's how
very
it should
steamy.
Be.
Very nice. Very pleasant.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
Hey, Auntie Isla. Twitch.tv/ Auntie Isla, A-I-L-A-H. Go follow that because I'm going to be doing more. I've already started doing spontaneous monster prom might just happen in my world now. So I can't really give you days or times for that. Mm-hmm, you got to follow my channel and get the notification.
Spontaneous Monster Prom is my Duran Duran cover band.
Nice. I like it. Mm. And then every Wednesday at 5 p.m., same place, but I'm doing family game night with my brother and my daughter.
Awesome.
So, show up, watch us play Valheim, make comments that I'll forget to look at for
a bit. Don't forget the troll!
Goddamn troll. Goddamn troll.
It's like playing
I'm just going to log in just every 5 minutes. Don't forget the trolls.
Are you going to be trolling them?
Every time they're like,
trolling.
Should we do this or this? Be like, which one has less troll?
What if what it is that we need a troll hide?
No, less troll.
By volume.
Yes.
But if we need a troll hide.
Don't forget the troll.
We got to go fight the troll.
Don't forget the troll.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If we don't get no trolls, then we don't get no rolls.
Oh my god. That was cool. Wait.
Sure.
There.
Yeah, I feel good about it. This Friday and Saturday nights at 8 p.m., Vilification Tennis will be doing Vilification Tennis Lovecraft style.
I love how you paused there, so you're just like, Vilification Tennis is doing Vilification Tennis.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, they're
good
doing
for them.
It's actually Eldritch Horrors.
Horrors.
Yeah. So there's that.
Horrors.
Yes.
Horror.
At the Bryant Lake Bowl, get your tickets beforehand so you don't have to stand in line the day of.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts?
Bye. I love you. Bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for everybody for listening. Thank you to James for the Fast Five. Nothing? Okay, no. Okay.
Yay, James.
No, nobody's going to cheer that. Okay. On behalf of... Thank you, Redbox.
Far more than I deserve.
Yes. That's why I wasn't going to push that button.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.